when we think of the power of prayer, last Sunday I had said God is a covenant God. God is committed first and foremost to his word because he is a covenant God. And so when we read our Bible and see the promises that are for us, are we tapping in to those promises? Are we understanding what those promises are for our life? So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So God watches over his word, that it will prosper in the thing for which he sent it. It's amazing to think of the power of prayer. God is not bound by what you think. God is not bound by what others think. And by the way, he's not even bound by how you feel or what you feel. He's only bound by his word. He's only bound by his word. Today, people are so bound by their feelings, they have no desire to know how to use their faith. When you turn on the TV, everything is about feely-touchy world. But when we look at our relationship with the Lord, you and I are to be a faith people that serve a faith God. God is moved by faith, not by feeling. God is moved by faith. So when you and I use our faith, we're looking beyond ourselves to the ability of God to see the amazing things that can happen through him. Okay, let's see that scripture to back it up. Ephesians 3:20-21. Again, when you and I use our faith, we're looking beyond ourselves to the ability of God to see the amazing things that can happen through him. It says in the word of God, now to him who is able. It's amazing if we just look at that. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. See, he wasn't just talking about that generation, not that generation of Paul. This is a true word that's spoken, that Paul had this revelation that he has a letter to the church of Ephesus, and he's saying, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you were to look back in Isaiah, it says, you know, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. But why not start thinking about the God who is able? He is able to do above abundantly all that we ask and think according to the power that works in us. See, we're believers, we're Christians, we believe in God, and the thing is that we serve a faith God, and he's saying, I want you to exercise that faith within you to release the power of God in our life or a circumstance or situation. This is exactly why we pray. We believe he is able. In Proverbs 13:12, when we think of faith and we think of hope, remember in the word of God, it says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we look at Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Praise God. Did you know there's an enemy that wants your hope deferred? Do you know there's an adversary that doesn't want you to pray? He doesn't want you to put your faith and trust in God. He wants your hope deferred. That he doesn't want you to believe in the ability of God. He wants us to be held captive in our little world when God's saying, believe in a bigger world, and that world is my kingdom. So when Jesus said, I want you to pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what he's saying is I want you to pull down from the heaven realm into the earthly realm, the very nature of God. So then our thinking's thinking beyond ourselves. We're thinking in the divine power of God working on our behalf. Praise the Lord. So that's why it's so important that we have strong faith. If we're not careful, our feelings will soon dominate our faith. See, when you look at what's going on in this world, it's this feely, touchy world. You got to say the right thing, when to say it, and if you don't, everybody's just feely, touchy, and that type of culture and society is trying to leak into the church to where we're more dominated by our feelings than we are our faith. See, and God is saying, I don't want you to be moved by your feelings. I need you to be moved by faith. I need you to be strong men and women of faith, not strong men and women of feelings. See, we are overcomers because of our faith, not our feelings. Amen. So when we look at the power of prayer, it's not based on feelings. It's all based on faith. Amen? Come on. Let's live this life as men and women of God in faith, not our feelings. Well, you hurt my feelings. Well, get over it. People are so stuck on themselves, they can't get over themselves. And God's saying, get over yourself. And what happens is we tend to look at things, and the thing is, as we look at things in life, it will try to feed back into us, and God's saying, you know what, don't let those feelings interrupt where I'm trying to take you. Because I want you to be men and women of faith, I want you to be overcomers in faith, but don't let those feelings come to invade your heart and your mind, because it'll take you in the wrong direction when I'm trying to get you to be moved by faith. I want you to be an overcomer in faith, in His ability, not your ability. Because we tend to look at the feelings based on our ability rather than His ability and faith in us. Amen? So when I'm talking about the importance of having a strong faith, is if we're not careful, feelings will soon dominate our faith. So when we look at this life, our challenge in life is when expectation causes us to lose hope when prolonged trials make it more difficult to pray. All right? So you might say, I didn't get my answer soon enough. Or say, what's the use? When God's saying, you need to pray. See, the feeling says this, it didn't come soon enough. Feeling says, what's the use? And God's saying, you need to pray. I need men and women of faith that are strong in me, not based on feelings, but men and women of faith that will trust me. Amen. That will trust me. And sometimes when we pray, we feel like we're not getting anywhere, but we have to forever think and ask God that it may be that there's a bigger picture in play in your life rather than what you're thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Let me say it one more time. Sometimes when we pray, we feel like we're getting nowhere, but have we ever thought to ask God if maybe if He has a bigger plan for your life? Most of the time, we're paying too much attention in what we want that we forget that this world and our lives were created in the very beginning for God's purpose. Think about it. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. and we think of what he did, the whole world and our lives were created for his pleasure, not our pleasure. And the world's going to say, you need your pleasure. It even talks about in the last days, the pleasure of men. But we need to understand that God had a purpose from the very beginning to live for his purpose. So when you and I pray, have we considered how our requests benefit God and his plans? Or are we asking with selfish motives rather than out of the heart of where God comes first? Let's look at Luke 10, 25. We're all challenged in this faith walk. We're all challenged in our relationship with the Lord. And so when we look at Scripture and we examine Scripture, I mean, we can actually read over Scripture and not even take a spiritual thought from us, and we can actually just read over it, and we don't receive from it. You know, I remember talking to this guy. I said, you know, I've read the Bible three times. It was kind of like this. You've read the Bible three times. It's amazing how your life hasn't changed. So then we have to ask, what has actually spoke to that person's heart and mind? And let's take it a little bit deeper. Brett, how about you when you haven't taken time to read your Bible? How about you, Brett, when you haven't taken time to pray? And here we can be so judgmental of saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. And yet we have several fingers pointing back at us of how we should be serving the Lord. So in Luke 10, 25, it says this, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I want us to catch this real good here. This was a lawyer. He knew law. He knew there was something about Jesus that caught his attention. He's being specific here, and I want us to see something here that says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So he wasn't saying, what is my position now with you? I see these miracle signs and wonders. What is it that I need to do to be a good person while I'm living on this earth? No, there was this pointed question to Jesus, and he says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. What if we're to ask that same question? Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I talked to a gentleman in a restaurant the other morning, and he'd seen a guy that he's pretty old, and he loves this guy, and he said, Brett, I just don't know what to do. This guy doesn't believe in heaven. He doesn't believe in hell. And I said, you got to ask this question. If you were to die today, do you know where you're going? What he was seeing in this man, a very elderly man, he says, once I die, it's done. And you know, there are people right now, living right now, that when they die, they think of everything is totally, completely done. But yet when we see in the Word of God, there is a heaven and there is a hell. There's absolutely a heaven and a hell. I think you need to sow some seed in that man's heart. You love this man, sow seed into that man's heart. Because if he does not believe that there's a heaven and a hell, there needs to be a connection to where he understands that God has created a spirit, soul, and body. Yes, the earth suit dies, but there's something else that lives on beyond that. This is reality. And so with this lawyer, he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So then I have to say with us, when we read this, Jesus saying, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart," one. Number two, "You shall love the Lord God with all your soul." Number three, "You shall love the Lord God with all your strength." Number four, "You shall love the Lord God with all your mind." You shall love the Lord God. What? How do you love the Lord God? Is to love your neighbor as yourself. If Jesus is saying that to the lawyer that had great intellect, then I would have to say for you and I, we better pay attention to this verse. Because Jesus said at the very end, he said this, "You have answered rightly, do this and you will have, and you will live." Not on this earth, you'll live in eternal life. That's what he was saying. So this isn't to just skim over. No, it's something that we have to apply to our life. Amen? All right, let's go to the next one. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, let's turn to Matthew 6:31. There's a reason for us to pay attention to Scripture. It's not that we come to church, we get an hour and a half in, we did our duty, we did our event, we did the program, we're out of here, let's just go on with life, and we don't resonate, we don't meditate, we don't get involved with God until the next Sunday comes. No, this is a relationship that God wants with you 24/7. All right, so in Matthew 6, 31-34, again, this is talking about our relationship with the Lord. It says in verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, what shall I drink, what shall I wear? It says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek." Now listen, "for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." See, we're not going to surprise God when we come to him in prayer. "God, if you only knew what I was going through right now." No, he knows. He knows what you're going through. He's saying, "I want you to humble yourself and come unto me. Don't do this yourself." And I want us to see that there's something very important here. "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." He knows that you need to eat. He needs you to know that there's something that you need to drink. And he knows that you need something to wear. He says, "Don't worry about that. You're covered." But look what it says in verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." See, I not only talked about faith, but there's something, an action that you and I have to do. All right? All right, let me read that again. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." It says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." How many here have heard the saying, "I was worried to death"? No, you weren't worried to death. What happened is you were so consumed with the worry that it had you bound. And the thing, the anxiety of worry will consume you to death. I've seen people have ulcers, bleeding ulcers, because they worried. Come on, let's be real. And God said, "Don't worry, because you know what? It isn't going to do you any good." And we've all done it. We've all done it. He said, "I want you to believe, but seek first the kingdom of God," right? Because remember, before that, he says, "Don't worry." It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And if we were to look at Scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:7 says, "God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." Right? So God's saying, Jesus in the Word saying, "Don't worry about these things." He says, "You're wasting your time." You're wasting your time because you cannot add to it. Come on. come on, today you're going to have an opportunity to worry. Today you will have an opportunity to worry. When that opportunity comes, what are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? How am I going to but seek first the kingdom of God, put that under Jesus' feet? Amen? Even when we put Jesus first, he is still waiting on us to move by faith in action. Jesus isn't wanting us to set back after we pray and do nothing like we placed an order at a restaurant. Come on now. Jesus doesn't want to be treated like a waiter. I put the order in the restaurant, you sit back and do nothing. We're called to be men and women of faith, but there's got to be some action with it. I think when we treat him like he's taking an order at a restaurant, we insult him. We insult his kingship. And yet you and I are working together with God. If the Lord has pressed the pause button on your prayers, don't give up. If he has delayed his answer, do not stop believing. When Abraham and Sarah, God said to Abraham, you know what? You're going to be the father of many nations. Those that bless you, I'll bless. Those that curse you will be cursed. And it's amazing when the Lord God had told Abram to leave Ur of Chaldees, and I want you to go to the specific place, and he took his family with him, and I want us to understand that the Lord God had said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, right? That was a promise, because remember I said that God was a covenant God. And so he spoke into Abram's heart of this promise. He had a God encounter, but it's amazing how over time Sarai and Abram wanted to help God. Sarah, the wife of Abram, said, why don't you take Hagar, said God is not filling the promise. I will help God, and you can have my maidservant because I'm without child. Maybe we can help God out. Right? So then when we see here comes Hagar and Abram come together, Ishmael is created, which isn't that of God. And it wasn't until later on, until when Abraham and Sarah came together in line, in faith, in trust in God, when Isaac fulfilled the promise. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. How many times have we thought we're going to help God out? Where he spoke to your heart, and you're believing something in your heart. You have such a desire in your heart that you believe the Lord God spoke to you, and then you decided to help God, and you created Ishmael rather than Isaac. See, Abraham and Sarah didn't see the promise of God come to pass until they surrendered to God their faith and trust, and that's when God fulfilled his promise. Have you surrendered to the Lord your circumstances and situations in your life? Do you feel it has to be your control and your timing? God wants to work with you and I, but you and I have to surrender our faith and trust in him. But don't forget, we also have to put faith into action. When you think of Abraham and Sarah and how they were going to help God, we know that Hagar wasn't part of that plan. Ishmael wasn't part of that plan. And it wasn't until the years down the road that then God was faithful to his word. He's a covenant God. He spoke into Abram's life. He spoke into Sarah's life. And God wasn't going to back up because of Abram and Sarah's mistake. And many times in life, we think the mistakes in our life are going to hold God back. And he says, I love you as a child of God. I love you. I know that you're going to make mistakes, but you know what? I'm going to still be speaking into your life. I'm still going to be a covenant God. He will always be bound by his word, and we see that with Abraham and Sarah. God's still bound by his word. And so I want us to see something here, and maybe it's something else that's hindering an answered prayer in your life or even in my life. And I want you to look at Mark 11:22. Isn't it amazing how Abram and Sarah, through that whole thing, that Hagar bore a son, Ishmael, out of line of God's promise? Could you imagine the strife? You know, and every time I look at that son that you bore, come on, strife's not of God. Strife is not of God, but it's amazing how helping God can create division and strife. Okay. Mark 11:22. Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. And this is just after that. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. So Jesus answered and said to them, his disciples, have faith in God. And it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You know, we like that part. Seriously, we like that part. Have faith in God. Yes, I have faith in God. Thank you, God. I'm going to speak to that mountain. I'm going to move that mountain by my heart and what I believe. I'm speaking to that mountain in faith. Faith in God, faith in what I believe. Those whoever believes and says these things, I believe it shall be done, because that's what I've said. That's what the Bible says. But let's look at verse 24. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, remember I'm talking about a series on the power of prayer. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him or her. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I want my trespass. I am so angry, I want my trespass. But then we want God to do his part, have faith in God. We want to believe in God. We want the mountain to be removed, but we like our trespass so much. And then we wonder why we don't have answered prayer. Because we're bound by our own trespass. Is this something that Jesus said? No, is it? I mean, there's that thing where the lawyer said, I got to love you with all my heart and with all of my mind. And it also says, I got to love my neighbor as myself. But that part where, I mean, I get it. I really want to have faith in God and I want to speak to that mountain, that circumstance, all that in me. But boy, that part that, and whenever you stand, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. I don't know if I believe that. Well, you better believe it, because that may be the very thing that is hindering your prayer. People can get on board with faith, but it's amazing when the Lord talks about a repentance, it is spoken very little in the church. But you understand what I'm saying? There is a part to us that we like this part of the Bible, we like that part of the Bible, but where it comes to this part, I'm going to tear that page out because I've got to do something on my part. I like the faith part. I like the speaking and believing to the mountain. But this part about me forgiving somebody, I'm not really wanting to do that. But then when Jesus says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Not a good place to be. Right? I'll raise my hand first. Anybody else? We've all been there. We're children. And we serve a mighty God that is trying to mold us and shape us into men and women of God that serve him. And when we trespass, he's saying, no, you got to repent about that. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit is the one that's reminding us to do it. Not only the Word, the living Word, but the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to correct that. Right? Okay, question. What is the Lord asking you to surrender today so he can work his plan in your life? What is the Lord asking you to surrender today so he can work his plan in your life? It may be that sin. It may be that trespass that you're not getting that answered prayer. So instead of pointing the finger, we need to examine ourselves and say, Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord, that I need to change in my life that I can be that vessel and honor, a vessel of honor serving you to bring glory to you? See, when we're all done, there's not one person in this room that doesn't want to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. We've been held in hostage because we didn't have a repentant heart. Because we didn't forgive when the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to forgive. When Susie and I have a disagreement, we have to get to the place of where we humble ourselves and forgive each other. It's just a fact. That's what the Holy Spirit, that is what the Word of God is speaking to us. When we have offenses that are going on in the church, that's not the body of Christ that God wants. That's for the world. See, the light in the church is to transform the world. You're vessels of light. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen.